That was good. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And we're dealing with the subject is being led by the Spirit of God. And we covered the first part of this chapter last week. But I guess to emphasize the importance of the leading of the Spirit of God, you don't have to go very far to realize the world, the leadership. It's when men's agendas and men's lusts and people's own ambitions run valuable decisions that need to be made. Generally, poor decisions get made, and you live consequently in a world of I think, confusion, and ultimately everybody kind of out for their own good and out to make their own buck and stuff like that. But being led by the Spirit, this is what happens in the nation of Israel under David's leadership, at least in some part. And David is a man who's led by the Spirit of God in a lot of aspects of his life, and does lead the nation of Israel. And there's a few aspects to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Paul said it this way, and it's very blunt, but he talks about being led by the Spirit of God. He said, "For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The ones who actually have the Lord as their shepherd. You know, we've talked about that before. You know, that everyone loves that thought. You know, you go to the hospital room and I don't know, the deathbed scenario, and you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is my shepherd. And the reality is, in that psalm, he talks about he leadeth me. He leadeth me. He says it twice. He leadeth me. And if the Lord doesn't provide leadership in your life, you can say he's your shepherd, but he's not your shepherd. And that's one of those religious things people do and people say, but that we're going to deal with real leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And in this chapter, the nation of Israel has now, Saul has died, David is now ascending into influence and exalted as the king over the nation, and it's taken years and years to get this done. And David's not a sinless human being, but David, as far as the circumstances are, as far as what the Lord has decided to do in creating a place of authority in the nation of Israel, that's putting a throne in the nation of Israel, David is the best man for that job. And unfortunately, I mean, he's not Jesus Christ, but he's the best man for the job at this point in time, because this is where the nation is. And he does have good leadership. He does lead the nation. And 2 Samuel chapter 5, I'll just rehearse a couple of things that we talked about last week. Number one, one of the things that happened under David's leadership and his allowing the Spirit of God to lead and not getting ahead of things and all that, the nation becomes more unified under David's leadership. Eventually they become more unified. I'm sure there's pockets of rebellion and stuff like that. But in this chapter, the Holy Spirit describes the nation becoming unified under David. David has been, like I said, patient in well-doing, which we talked about last week. He has just waited. He's known he's supposed to be king for years, but he's patiently waited on the Lord's promotion and let the Lord do the work that he said he would do. And my responsibility, at least from David's perspective, his responsibility is he's just got to do the right thing. And he just needs to stay in line with the words of God and then let the Lord do the promoting. And then he find out the Spirit of God is greater than the spirit in the world and then those kinds of things. And the leadership of the Spirit of the Lord is more powerful than the influences of the world, or at least it should be. And liken that to like a boat on the water, you know, that as long as the water's not coming in, the boat's not sinking, it stays kind of above the water. So anyhow, those were some things we talked about last week. And then we did cover sometimes God blesses people that we just don't think deserve the direction and the blessing, and we'll hit that a little bit today again, because it's in the verses we're going to read. But that all said, David's led by the Spirit of God. Look in verse 11. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons. And they built David a house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake." All right, I'm going to stop there and just make a note here. This is the idea. God had put David as the leader of the nation of Israel, and the purpose is in verse 12. He did this for the people's sake. And here's the basic premise is God's gifts and God's giving of people to a congregation, to a nation, when he gifts people with gifts, it's for the benefit of the people. It's to help the body. It's to help the congregation. I give you a little example in the Old Testament when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt. So in Exodus, the nation of Israel comes out of Egypt under Moses' direction and leadership. And they come out of Egypt and they go and they begin to worship, or at least they start to get the law and things like that, and they begin to worship. And then Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai to get some instruction from the Lord. And in the meantime, in a very short period of time, the nation, anybody remember what the nation turns into? I mean, in idolatry, they build golden calves and they start worshiping. And what you find out is, in the absence of Moses, the nation has no direction. And you can say Moses is a sinner, and you can say, yeah, you know, we don't trust in man and stuff like that. The reality of the situation is the nation of Israel needed a Moses. They needed a Moses. Because absent Moses, the nation of Israel doesn't know what they're doing. They revert to idolatry, they build the calves, and they're all partying and stuff like that. And then Moses comes down and he sees the whole mess. And you know how long that, I mean, that took a couple of weeks to do that. Moses wasn't gone very long, and the thing just starts to fall apart. And what it shows you over and over again is God sets up a structure, and he sets up an order, and he gives gifts to the people, and the gifts are in the form of other people. And when he gives gifts to the nation of Israel, it's for the benefit of the nation. And when you remove those gifts, when you remove Israel, or you remove, I should say, Moses from the equation, the nation falls apart. And so this is the idea. God gives David to the nation of Israel. And that's what he says there. Verse 12, David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom. Why? For his people Israel's sake. This man, whether you like it or not, is the best man for the job. Well, he's too harsh. Well, he's the best man for the job. If he's not here, your nation doesn't do the right thing. If he's not here, this nation goes backward. And so you have your complaints about David. You know, he's this way, he's that way. He doesn't do this right. He makes these bad decisions here. And the Lord just says, look, this is the best man for the job. You saw how it went under Saul. Saul didn't serve the Lord. Saul didn't win any victories for the Lord. Saul let this whole he let the enemies overrun the nation. He never cleaned house the way he should have. And so all of that said, what you find out is the first thing is the leadership of the Holy Spirit is God gifting for the benefit, really, of the people. You'll read about it in the New Testament. So it talks about the gifts of the Spirit are for others. It's for the edification of the body, for the growth of the body. Paul says it this way in Ephesians, and I'll just read this one to you. He says, wherefore he saith, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, Jesus Christ ascends up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You say, what are the gifts that he gave? Well, here they are. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and then 11 and 12. So you read he gave gifts to men, and those gifts are in the form of people. And the people are there to benefit the whole body. And so David is exalted. He's exalted by God. He's honored by God. He is promoted by God. And God's gift is for the benefit of the people. It's just a... and you can not like it. You can hate his personality. You can... I mean, whatever the case is. But the reality is, the Lord says, look, I'm doing this because you need this. And when folks... We are very good at complaining about leadership. And sometimes it's justified. Sometimes it's right. You know, sometimes people will make terrible decisions. And granted, most times people aren't led by the Spirit of God. And so it's particularly difficult when you have leadership that doesn't fear God. And when they don't fear God, they just act in their own motive and their own agenda, and there's no parameter. There's nothing to guard from them hurting the people because they don't fear God. But the point is, we're very adept at complaining about leadership, whether it's justified or not justified. But in God's scope of things, when the Spirit of God is leading an individual, or in this case, when he's leading a nation and he's leading a congregation, the Spirit of God puts the best man that he can for the people. And that's the whole point of this. It's for the people. Because when you remove David from the situation, the nation doesn't work right. When you remove Moses from the situation, the nation goes into idolatry. And that's the common denominator. I mean, you just look at the nation with Moses, and then you look at the nation without Moses. Here's the nation without Moses for 2 weeks. Well, what did they turn into? Well, this is what they turned into. Then Moses shows up, and then he's got to straighten the whole thing out. So the point is, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it's for the greater benefit of God's people. And so God gives gifts to men. And here's the greatest gift. He talked about it in Ephesians. He says, wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. And those gifts were apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He said, these are the gifts I'm giving you. But the greatest gift, and y'all know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now that's the gift that the nations need. That's the ultimate gift. The Lord Jesus Christ, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's the gift? The gift is the man. It's the man, Jesus Christ. So when God gives gifts, it comes in the form of men, and we could breach on that a little bit. And that's a good, when God gave gifts to humanity, I mean, this was when Jesus Christ is born, you've got the angels singing, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. God is giving what the world needs. This is what the world needs. It needs this man. So that's the first thing about this being led by the Spirit of God. He will give gifts to men. He will give, the gifts will be in the form of people, and they will be to the benefit of the nation, to the congregation, to the group. They're a blessing, they're a benefit. The second thing is, and I'm not going to deal with this one too much because we dealt with it a lot last week, and I didn't even really mean to deal with it last week, but we did. But the second thing is in verses 13 through 16. David, who is God's gift to the nation, David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. And these be the names of those that were born unto him, in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibar, and Elishua, and Nepheg, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Eliphelet. So these are David moves to Jerusalem, and now he has more children, and he has more wives. And again, we talked about that last week. Sometimes sometimes the man for the job doesn't exactly make the right decision. I'm not even going to say this is the wrong decision. It is the wrong decision to have multiple wives. That's wrong. That's not the right decision. However, God continues to bless David. And like we said last week, you know, look at that, and maybe you look at that and you say, man, why is God blessing David? And why is David's making these mistakes and David's sinning in this way? Why is God not bringing judgment? Why didn't he bring a prophet to say something? And he just doesn't. And so the Lord just doesn't do what I expect him to do. And I don't know what to make of it. I mean, this situation isn't going to turn out good for David. It's not going to help David. It's going to be a real problem. But I read some of this and I think, well, Lord, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And the Lord's like, no, I'm just not doing that. And so sometimes the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and just make it this point, sometimes the leadership of the Holy Spirit doesn't always meet my approval. I think he should be doing something and he's not. I think the guy in charge he needs to have a better personality, or the guy in charge needs to make a different decision, or the guy in charge needs to do this. And I think the Lord looks over the scope of the whole thing and he says, maybe, yeah, I agree with you, but this guy's still the best guy for the job. he's still the guy for the job. So the leading of the Holy Spirit doesn't always meet my criteria. And I mean, who am I? Who am I to cast judgment on God's Holy Spirit and his leadership? I will say, though, that this stuff doesn't work out well for David, and it's not right. But the Lord doesn't address it right here. He just mentions it. And then this, there's a couple more in this chapter. After David moves to Jerusalem, that starting in verse 17, the Bible says this: when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, and all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold, and the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David, here it is, inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim, And David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of the waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. There's a phrase in here in verse 19, David inquired of the Lord. So here come the enemies. David moves to Jerusalem now. Now that he's going to make that the capital city of the nation. This is Mount Zion. This is where God's going to build his house or have his house built. And so David moves there, and when he moves to Jerusalem, the Philistines start to gather, and they want to attack Israel. They start to gather their armies, and David does. I think it's seven times in the Bible that it's recorded that David inquired of the Lord. And here's the point. Here's the point about being led by the Spirit of God. David was led by the Spirit of God because David wanted to be led by the Spirit of God. It's not complicated in this sense. David is looking for direction from the Lord. And I think it's such a simple point, but it's something I would say we all eventually we fail to do. We're perfectly willing to take counsel of our own lusts, to take counsel of our own ambitions, to take counsel of our own desires, to take counsel from our own wants and cravings and things like that. But to actually seek out, Lord, what do you want to happen here? Maybe our children ought to be asking that question instead of, what do you want to be when you grow up? How about, what does the Lord want you to be when you grow up? How about, what does the Lord want out of your life? What does your Creator want from you? And I guarantee you're not going to get that information if you're not looking for the information. What does God want out of this? In fact, there's a prophet named Amos, and he goes to this religious center in Bethel, this worship center where they got the cows and they got the images. And he preaches, and he says over and over, "Seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord." And he says it to a bunch of religious people. And the religious people say, why are you telling us to seek the Lord? We're in church. Why are you telling us to seek God? What's what we're doing? We're worshiping God every Saturday, Sunday. And he says, no, seek the Lord. Here's how you seek the Lord. You need to tear down the idol. Quit making the idol something you go to. Why? Because it's an exclusive search. It's not, I'm going to keep my options open. It's not, well, I'm going to put a feeler out for the Lord, and I'm going to put a feeler out for the lottery or whatever. I'm going to put a feeler out for the Lord. I'm going to put a feeler out for this, and we'll see which one comes in. And Amos says, no. You got to get rid of the other stuff. Because you're not going to be able to hear or follow the voice of the Lord as long as you've got all that noise in your life. Get rid of the other stuff. What does that mean? It's an exclusive search. When David inquired of the Lord, he didn't also inquire from a witch. He didn't also ask advice from a warlock. He didn't also ask advice from his signs or whatever those things, what are those astrological signs or whatever, his horoscope. He didn't ask for that. When he inquired of the Lord, it's like, look, everything else out. All the other voices out. I want to hear what God has to say about this battle. And I can't hear what God has to say as long as there is this noise. So David inquires of the Lord. The point is very plain and simple. Being led by the Spirit is going to require you and I to want to be led by the Spirit. And really, I mean, this ought to be the first thing, but to seek out God's advice, but not to be too harsh, but how many times is God's counsel the last thing we seek? I asked the doctor what he said, and I didn't like what he said, and then I asked another doctor what he said, and I didn't like what he said, and then when things got really tough, I sought the Lord on this. Instead of, I heard about this thing, and I sought the Lord on it. I mean, the Lord in our list seems to be so far down the line. It's almost like, are we even hearing from God? I mean, we've just basically made him sort of a, you know, third string or fourth string, and this one didn't pan out, and this one didn't pan out, and this one didn't pan out. So, Lord, what do you think? And it's almost just like a pitch it out there, and hopefully something happens. David inquired of the Lord. It's maybe it's friends' advice. In David's case, I mean, he could have inquired of the military leaders. He could have said, "What do y'all think we should do?" But that didn't characterize David's life. As far as fighting the enemies of God, David inquired of the Lord multiple times. How do I deal with this? And Lord, I need an answer from you. Because honestly, at the end of the day, if you and I don't hear from God, it really doesn't matter what else we hear. If you and I can't get God's determination and his word on this matter, it really doesn't matter what else we hear. Everything revolves around the words of God, the counsel of God, the light of God, the discernment, the instruction. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's true. David gets leadership from the Holy Spirit of God because he asked for it. It's exclusive. He isn't looking for other lines of help. In fact, at the end of that little verse 21, it mentions that after they defeat the enemies, what do they do at the end of all that? 21, at the end of 21. What do they do with the idols? They burn them. These things don't provide any help. We're dealing with people who have been worshiping wood and rocks. We're dealing with people who have been, they think they've got good luck because they rubbed on a piece of plastic. We're dealing with people who carry their idols, and their idols fall on the ground. I don't know if y'all. I watched some. Oh, it's been a while, but I watched some video where these folks are carrying this statue of, I think it's Mary, and they're carrying this statue, and the statue starts to rock, and then the statue falls, and then there's mass panic about the statue. And you only have to live in that world to see the craziness of it. How is this thing going to help you when it can't even stand on its own? How does this thing hear you? It fell on the ground and shattered into pieces. How is this thing a god? So David, they run out the Philistines. They gather up the idols, burn the idols. That would be a pretty rough thing in our culture. You start getting rid of idols. I don't know if there'd be much left of our culture. You know? He starts burning the idols, getting rid of this stuff. People have been worshiping. People have been thinking, have been answering prayers. These things don't answer prayers. They don't hear you. They don't talk to you. They don't have mouths. They don't have eyes. I mean, and because you can carve an eye in a piece of wood, that doesn't make that thing see. Because you carved a mouth in a piece of wood, that doesn't make that thing speak. This thing is a dead piece of wood. It's a rock. It's a piece of plastic. It has no life whatsoever. But I'm going to prop it up in my house, and I'm going to pray to this thing as though that's the power of God. That's idolatry. That thing has no power. So David, that's like the opposite of being led by the Spirit of God. That's like being led by a dead rock. When you get down to it, it may have a face on it, but it's like, this thing isn't helping you. And then we carve them out according to our own imagination, and it's crazy. It's a crazy thing. But then he says about idolatry. Here's idolatry. Paul says it this way. He says, avoid covetousness, which is idolatry. So we say, hey, this stuff is crazy. How can people do these things? And the Lord says, and you're covetous. And you're chasing after and wanting things that you don't have any business with, that don't lead you in the right direction. But your appetites, they draw you away. David, on the other hand, David seeks out the Lord's leadership, and he gets the Lord's leadership. The Bible says David inquired of the Lord. So why did David get the leadership of the Lord? Because he asked for it. He was looking for it. I mean, really, think about it in your own life. When is the last time? When is the last time you sought the Lord's leadership and then you waited for the Lord's leadership? Where you actually sought out God's leadership in something and then you waited for God to arrange it. So it was very clear that God has made this thing happen. And it's far beyond anything you could manufacture. I think too many times, I mean, we sort of throw out a prayer for God's leadership, and then I understand you got to kind of put in your effort too, and you got to not about eternal life or any of that stuff, but you have to. It's not lay in your bed and tell God to bring you Whataburger to your bed every day. I mean, you got to do something. You got to work with your hands and stuff like that. But on the other hand, we pray to God and we pitch it to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, can you do this? Can you work this out? Can you make this happen? And then we start manipulating things, and then the thing happens, and it's kind of like, well, I think I should be thanking God, but I don't really know because I kind of made this happen. Or, I mean, it's when's the last time you sought out the Lord and you inquired of the Lord and you let the Lord do it? And let him work it out. And let him address all the circumstances so that when it's done, you step back and you say, wow, the Lord did something. And it's something I can really thank him for because he did it. It wasn't my manipulation, it was him. David inquires of the Lord. He gets leadership from the Lord. And then this last part, being led by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God gives gifts to people in the form of people to benefit the people. Then the Spirit of God, if you're looking for the leadership of the Lord, he provides leadership. And then this, not just it kind of goes along with what I just said, but not just ask the Lord to lead, but let the Lord lead. Let him lead. Let him do it. Look in verse 22. It says, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee. There you go. There's the leadership. The Lord goes out before you to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So the last point is this. Don't just inquire of the Lord. Actually allow the Lord to lead. And there's several decisions in that case that have already been made, where the Lord has done the leading, where the Lord already has established a path, and he says, look, just follow me. Just follow the path I've already laid out. This one doesn't necessarily require prayer. It doesn't necessarily require, where do I go? This one is just a matter of following. I've laid out the path, but sometimes you got to let the Lord lay out the path because it's not as clear. It's not. It's more individual, maybe more specific. And so I notice in this scenario, the Lord gives David a different answer. He doesn't. He doesn't tell him to go fight. He doesn't tell him to go meet the Philistines in the valley. He says, no, don't go meet him. Wait. In fact, go around. Go around the back. And so David does that. So he goes around the back. And I imagine that the strategy is so that the Philistines know how David had come against them the first time. And so they may be more prepared for it. So the Lord gives him a whole different direction. Says, do it this other way now. And so he tells him to go around the back, and David does. And he says, wait for the wind to blow and the moving of the mulberry trees, and then that's when you make your move. And I'm sure there's probably a very practical reason for that. I mean, if you wait till the wind blows and the trees are being blown, maybe it's a pretty vigorous wind, and the trees are blowing, well, the movement of the army can be kind of camouflaged in the noise of all the wind. And so you move your army when the wind's blowing, which there's probably some good devotional material and all that stuff. But David does exactly what the Lord tells him to do. He waits. He waits for the wind to blow. And then when the wind starts blowing through the mulberry trees, then David marches on with the army. And they go attack the Philistines, which I'm sure was a surprise to the Philistines. And it was designed that way. But here's the point in these verses. Now, David, he inquired of the Lord, which is necessary. But then he allowed the Lord to lead. Verse 24, let it be when thou hearest the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out, how? Before thee. So now it's just a matter of following God's lead. Here's the Lord, he moves, and now I'm just going to follow him, which is kind of where we started with this. It's the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Twice, Psalm 23, he leadeth me. Jesus said it this way in John 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I love reading that no man shall pluck them out of my hand. That's great. That's great news. It's real good. What about the first part? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I mean, we'll cut that part out and deal with, they'll never be plucked out of my hand. And that's what we do with the Bible. You just chop off that part and just deal with, hey, I like the security of knowing I have eternal life. And so I'm just going to deal with the fact that I know that I have eternal life and I'm a part of the people that aren't plucked out of his hand. So that verse obviously applies to me, that I'm never plucked out of his hand. Well, does that verse also apply to you, that you follow him? Because that's part of the verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All that goes together. That's not separate thoughts. That's part of the same thing. Let the Lord lead. Jesus said over and over, follow me, follow me, follow me. Why? The Lord is my shepherd, and there's some valuable benefits that go with that. I shall not want, maketh me lie down in green pastures, all that kind of thing. But follow me. What does that mean? That means I'm already walking the path. And all I need you to do is take the same steps that I took. You don't need to create your... Just take the same steps that I took. Follow me. Here's the path. Paul would say it, I think it's in Ephesians or Colossians. Ephesians, where he says... For you have not so learned Christ. And he's talking about the old man versus the new man, and how the old man's just full of deceitful lust and prone to wander and go off into the ditch and things like that. But the new man, which is renewed in Christ, that gives you the perspective, that gives you the light of the path, that gives you the steps to take. It's in Christ. Follow me. So David inquires of the Lord. The Lord gives him guidance. The Lord sends the wind, practically speaking, in this scenario here. And the Bible says, for then shall the Lord go out before thee. There you go. That's the true leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul would say it this way, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Like I said, we love the never being plucked out of his hand. We love that idea. That idea comes with the Lord being the shepherd and following the shepherd. We're the sheep of his pasture. If you are the sheep of his pasture, he said, my sheep follow me. It is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This chapter, and on the historical side, you've got a nation now, a nation of Israel, that is starting to, under the leadership of David and his fear of the Lord and his direction from the Spirit of God, the nation is starting to fall in line with the Spirit of God, and there's going to be some blessings with all that. It's not going to be, it'll be a bumpy ride in a lot of ways as we go on, but... This is the nation being led by the Spirit of God through David's leadership. And that leadership of the Spirit of God is so important. God gives gifts to men for the benefit of his people. And he wants his people to be blessed and helped and edified the way they need to be edified. And we don't always agree probably with the leadership he chooses. And we may not even like the personalities of the leadership. We may not... like the some of the traits of the leadership, and there'll undoubtedly be some things in this chapter even that are distasteful, but ultimately the Lord says, look, this is the guy for the job. If I pick anyone else in the nation, they're not going to do what David's going to do. David is the man for the job. So God gives gifts in the form of people to benefit his people. And ultimately, the greatest gift the Lord ever gave, the Father gave the Son, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Then you notice in being led by the Spirit that it's sought out. David seeks out the leadership. And he doesn't ask other men. It's just, I need to get rid of the voices. I need to hear the voice of the Lord. I need to get with the Lord alone. I need to hear what he says. I need to get direction from him. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. But then after the Lord answers him, it goes even further. David waited for the leadership of the Lord. He waited for the Lord to take the first steps, and then he followed. It reminds me of so much of when Jesus Christ was preparing the disciples for the cross, and telling them, look, the world hates me. And this is what's going to happen because of it. And because the world hates me, it's going to hate you. If you're going to walk in these steps, this is what happens. Because this is the path. This is the way this works. And you're not going to be my disciple and create another path. If you're going to be my disciple, you follow me, and that means you walk in the path that I'm walking in. And if you walk in the path that I'm walking in, then these things happen to you. And he says that over a period of a couple chapters. But he's preparing the disciples and saying, look, this is what to expect if you're going to be my disciple. And this is the reason a lot of people aren't my disciples. Because they don't like what there is to expect of it. They don't like the following part. They don't like what comes with the territory. What comes with the discipleship. I don't like the opposition here. I like being liked by the world. I like being embraced by the world. I don't like the scoffing. I don't like any of that stuff. Therefore, I will not be your disciple because I don't like the effects of being your disciple. And what is being a disciple? That's following the Lord. David follows. He waits after he's inquired. The first time he deals with the Philistines one way, then the second time he inquires again, he's going to deal with them in a different way. And he just waits on the Lord to lead. And so this is the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And I guess the simple, the thought in all of this, maybe not so simple, but the thought in all of this is we could really use some more leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. But it's going to require waiting on God to lead. Let him lead. Quit being led around by your own desires, your own ambitions. Hey, what do you want to do? What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with, you know, maybe it's time to start redirecting all of our consciousnesses, all of our minds and our thoughts and our perspective into what does God think about this? What does God think about my life? What does God think about this decision? What does God think about this job? What does God think about this education? What does God think about these decisions as far as relationships? Because we are so good at getting out of line and getting into the ditch and then begging God to get us out of the ditch. And Lord says, look, just follow my lead. There will be trouble. But follow my lead, because if you follow my lead, you have my help. This is my path. This is my business. Follow me. Follow me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We could use a lot more leadership of the Holy Spirit. We really could. I could. And we could. I know the world, you could say the world could, but that's not going to happen. Just deal with individuals and congregations and groups of people. We could use some more leadership of the Holy Spirit. So let's let the Holy Spirit lead us. Let's let him guide us. How? Through the words of God. You got the light, the word of God. What is it? It's a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. This is the footsteps of Jesus Christ. This is it. Let the Spirit of God lead. As Sam comes and plays a little bit on the piano, we'll just have a little time of invitation here. And maybe you think about it in your life. It's time you do.